Listen, tonight I want to talk to you guys about being strong in the Lord. I want to talk to you tonight about being confident as a Christian, being courageous in the things of God. How many of you in the house tonight know that it's God's will that you and I be strong and courageous? Amen. Well, if you brought your Bibles with you, go ahead and turn in them with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And as you turn there, here in Joshua chapter 1, Moses has passed away. He's gone on to be with the Lord. Moses has passed away, and so God goes ahead and he changes the leadership from Moses to Joshua, the leadership of Israel over to Joshua. And when he does, God comes along and he gives Joshua a promise. And it was the promise of entering into the promised land, all right? And so we pick up in verse number 5 here. But before we begin reading in verse number 5, the things that God told Joshua after giving him the promise of the promised land, I want to know by a showing of hands here, how many of you guys have a promise from God? Praise God, man. Well, let me tell you what, every hand ought to be raised high in the house, because guess what? God has given each and every one of you precious promises. Each and every one of you have been given promises from God in his word, promises that pertain to your particular life, for you specifically. And so I love it. Pastor Jim has said it for years, and it's so true that, you know what, God hasn't written down his word and preserved it for thousands of years for you and I to just come into the house of God and have a history lesson. God's written it down for and preserved it for thousands of years so that you and I can read it, so that we can understand it, so we can take it and apply it in our lives and receive the things that God has for us. Amen. And so if you're in here in the house tonight and you have a promise from God, then you're no different than Joshua. And so here we pick up in verse number 5. After God has given him this promise of entering into the promised land, this is what God says to him. He says, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life." How many of you can raise your hands and say, man, I've had some people and some circumstances try to stand in my way of the promises of God. But God comes along here and says, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." Verse 7, and I love it. "Only be strong." Joshua, "only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it from the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." And then verse number 9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Isn't that good? Be strong and of good courage. God right here in 5 verses says 3 times, "Be strong, Joshua, and of good courage." I like what it says in verse number 7. In verse number 7, "Joshua, only be strong." Only be strong and very courageous. And then again in verse number 9, he says, "Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed." Tonight, the word dismayed, you could read this verse like this. Joshua, don't be apprehensive. Joshua, don't be troubled. Joshua, don't be discouraged. Don't be disheartened, Joshua. Don't be uneasy. Don't be intimidated. Don't be unsure, insecure, or uncertain. Don't be disheartened, Joshua. Too often in life, you and I as Christians, we approach life's situations, we approach circumstances, we approach the things that we face from day to day, and we approach them discouraged. We approach them unsure, kind of uneasy. I don't really know quite where I stand. Maybe even, you know, I don't really quite know where God stands on the issue. When all the while, God is calling us to be strong and courageous. Listen, I don't know about you, but when God spoke this to my heart, "Joey, I want you to only be strong. I want you to only be courageous." It was a blessing to me, because then I knew, you know what? I don't have to be unsure. I don't have to be insecure. I don't have to be disheartened. I don't have to be discouraged. I don't have to walk around wondering. Joey, even though life may throw curveballs at you sometimes you can be strong and courageous. And so all too often, I think us as believers, as Christians, as precious children of God, so often we approach life circumstances, situations, things, and we approach them uncertain. I love this verse, and you don't have to turn there. It's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 25 and 26. The Bible says, "Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of evil from the wicked when it comes, for the Lord your God will be your confidence, and he will keep your foot from being caught." He'll keep your foot from being caught. And so God's will for us tonight is that in every circumstance and in every situation that we rise up and be strong, we rise up and be courageous, we rise up and be more than conquerors, just like his word says. Rise up and bring heaven to earth in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Now listen, guys, tonight I'm not telling you that if you approach a situation, we all face them. If you approach a situation or a circumstance or an issue in your life, and you know there's always that initial shock, there's always fear that's involved to some measure or another. And so tonight I'm not telling you that if you have fear in your life, that you know you're in sin and God's left you and God's not going to come through on your behalf. That's not what I'm saying, all right? But I do want you to understand tonight that if you and I allow fear, if we allow discouragement, if we allow insecurity, intimidation, uncertainty, as we discussed earlier, to continue in our lives and to evolve and to come to the place really where intimidation and insecurity and uncertainty is governing and is dictating our actions, that's where we get in trouble. All right, I like to say it like this: if you allow fear in your life to the extent and to the place where fear is governing what you think and what you say and what you do, it's causing you to make decisions, then listen, guys, compromise is inevitable. You and I will compromise God's word. You and I will compromise in order to keep that thing that we're afraid of from happening. You and I have both been there, you know, in love with God. I'm in love with God. Hallelujah. And excited about the things of God. And then all of a sudden we leave church or we leave our home and we're around friends and family who are unsaved. And Christianity gets brought up. Jesus gets brought up. God gets brought up in a negative fashion. Because we're insecure, because we're a little afraid, because we're unsure, we're intimidated about what maybe somebody may say or think of us. We kind of shrink back, we kind of compromise, rather than being the light of the world that God has called us to be, being the salt of the earth. And Pastor Luke talked about it some time back. Man, you and I are the salt of the earth. You and I in Christ Jesus are the light of the world. And if the salt loses its flavor, man, there's nothing else. It's up to you. But because of insecurity, because we weren't strong and courageous in the things of God, we compromise was inevitable. We kind of shrunk back. We kind of faded into the crowd. We've all been there. We've all been there. What about tithes and offerings? It's a prime example. You already know, hey, you know what, man, I'm already stretching it this month. I got my car payment coming up. Man, school is about to start and I got to buy these books. And then all of a sudden the preacher gets up Friday night. Pastor Luke, Pastor Joey, Pastor Jim, whoever it is. Man, it's time for tithes and offerings. Everybody's clapping their hands. But because of the circumstance, insecurity, unsure, intimidated, uncertain of where your bills might end up, uncertain of where maybe God stands on your issue, compromise takes place. And we compromise God's precious promise. When all along the Bible says that if you're faithful in your tithes and offerings, man, God will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, so much so that you won't be able to contain it. He'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. Hallelujah. If you give, it'll be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over, shall men give unto you. But because we weren't strong, because we weren't courageous, and we've all been there, guys, I'm not putting condemnation on anybody, we compromise God's promise to us. We compromise God's word. So tonight, if you and I are going to be strong and courageous, there's three things that we need to understand. Number one, you and I are going to have to know God's will. Okay, cool. And I put in parentheses his word, because if you want to know God's will, you find it out by reading your Bible. You find out by what the Bible says, all right? What the Bible says, man, that's God's will. If you and I are going to be strong and courageous, you and I are going to have to find out God's will on our situation. Let me say it like this. How can you and I be strong and courageous if we don't know where God stands on our particular situation? How can we really be strong? How can you and I be strong? Man, God's going to promote me on my job. God's going to cause me to prosper. If you don't know if it's God's will for you to prosper, who does he prosper? When does he prosper them? How does he prosper? Will he, you're not quite sure. How can you and I be strong and courageous, man, if we're sick in our bodies? Man, God is healing me right now as I speak. I know my body says one thing. I know the doctors say another. But guess what? By his how can you and I be confident if we don't know God's will? Listen, guys, the moment you and I find out God's will on our situation is the moment we're enabled to be strong and courageous, to not be afraid and not be dismayed. The moment you and I read verses like Isaiah 53:4-5, like 1 Peter 2:24, that by his stripes we're healed, is the moment we're enabled to be strong and courageous. Are you with me so far? So if we're going to be strong and courageous, we're going to have to know God's will, and it's found in his word. Now, how many of you in the house tonight, you like epic movies? Okay, like 3 people. I must be like number 4. Do I have any Gladiator fans? That's like on Pastor Luke and myself's top 5 list, right? Right on Gladiator. How many of you guys like Braveheart? All the men are like shouting. Last time I preached and I was asking about movies, I was talking about, you know, Twilight and How to Lose a Guy, and all the girls were like, oh yeah, oh yeah. And now I'm talking about, all the guys are like, who? Anyways, how many of you guys have seen the movie Kingdom of Heaven with Orlando Bloom and is it Liam Neeson? All right. I was like, you know, preparing my message, I was like, Nielsen. Anyways, in this movie, if you haven't seen it, basically this movie is about the time of the Crusades when Christians and Muslims fought and they wanted to occupy the land of Jerusalem. And this particular story takes place in Jerusalem at the time when the Christians occupied Jerusalem. And the movie starts out, and at the time there was peace between the Christians and the Muslims because the Christian king was a righteous man. He did things the right way. He respected the Muslims and so on and so forth. Anyways, he passes away, right? And another leader comes in who's evil, him and his buddies. And man, they have all the wealth. They occupy Jerusalem. They have everything they want, but they still want to go out and they want to fight the Muslims, all right? They still want to go wipe them out. They've become bloodthirsty, all right? So they get together and they have this meeting and, you know, they're going back and forth. The king obviously is on the side of those who want to go to war. And then you have those few good men who are like, no, you don't want to do that. That's the dumbest thing ever. And so toward the end of this meeting, things get a little hot and they're yelling back and forth. And then this phrase gets brought out. And actually this phrase, you'll hear throughout the movie, the Christians use it, the Muslims use it. But the phrase is, you know, they come to the end and they're finally like screaming, we're going to go to war. And the phrase is, God wills it. God wills it. And so what they had done was they had convinced themselves that God's will for them was to go to war. Now, this is kind of a little bit of a backwards example because they go to war and they get wiped out. And in fact, the Muslims don't lose a guy. The Christians get just completely slaughtered. But what they did was they convinced themselves that God wills that they go to war, all right? And because they were convinced that it was God's will, they were emboldened, they were strong, and they were courageous. And now I'm not telling you to convince yourself that anything's God's will. I'm telling you to find out through his word what his will is, because the moment that you do is the moment that you're enabled to be strong and courageous and receive and become all that God's called you to be and do all that God's called you to do and not compromise. Are you with me tonight? All right, if you'll turn with me to James chapter 1. James is writing to Christians here and, of course, to us today. Here in James chapter 1 and verse number 5. You can go ahead and put it up. Oh, you got it up. All right, cool. James chapter 1 and verse number 5. And what James does is he's talking about wisdom here. He's talking about for those who don't have wisdom, if you need wisdom, you can ask from God and he'll give it to you, all right? But James takes a time out in this verse to tell us something about God so that we can see his will on an issue, so that we can approach him full of faith. We can approach him strong and courageous. We can trust him that God is going to do what he says. All right, so here in this verse, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, comma, right? Now, between this comma and the next comma, we're just going to cut that part out. We're not going to read it. We're going to skip to the end, and the verse is not going to change in meaning, all right? So watch this. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. and it will be given to him. Does that make sense to you? But James is not satisfied with the verse being like that. So what James does is you see the comma right after God, he takes a time out to tell you and I, to tell the Christians he was writing to, something about God. A piece of God's character, a piece of his will, so that they could be full of faith in approaching God. They could be strong and they could be courageous. So he comes along and says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, time out, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, untime out, and it will be given to him. Did you guys see that? Who gives to all liberally. And all of a sudden, the moment that they saw that, the moment that you and I see, wait, when it comes to giving, God's will is that he's a liberal giver. He gives liberally and without reproach. And the moment that you and I see that, we're enabled to be strong and courageous in asking God for wisdom, according to this verse. So tonight, remember, we're talking about being strong and courageous. Number one, if we're going to be strong and courageous, we're going to have to know God's will. Number two, if we're going to be strong and courageous, you and I cannot hold God's word as a sentimental thing. God's word cannot be just a sediment to us. It can't just be, oh man, that message was really cool. Oh man, that verse was really cool. You know, we read our Bible, oh man, that was tight, yo. That was the bomb diggity. And then that's it. And then, you know, the Bible sits on the shelf. If you and I are going to be strong and courageous the way that God has called us to be, you and I are going to have to learn as Christians to grab hold of God's word, to grab hold of what the Holy Spirit's doing. Even in praise and worship, you and I are going to have to learn how to sense that, man, the Holy Spirit is working in my life right now. He's healing me of something. He's speaking to me about something. He's rearranging my thinking about something. And we're going to have to learn how to grab hold of it with all of our heart. Grab hold of it with all of our mind. Make sure that it's implanted on the inside. Make sure that it's established on the inside to the place where when we face these circumstances and we face these situations in everyday life, that the moment we face them, verses are popping up about that situation. What God has spoken to us is popping up about that issue. Songs that we sing that pertain to what we're dealing with. I will not be shaken. All of a sudden, your boss comes and we're gonna need to lay off some people. There's rumors going around the office. We're gonna have to lay off some people. I will not be shaken. We're gonna have to learn how to grab hold of God's word. Turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And actually, while you turn there, I want the overhead to change. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. You turn to Mark chapter 4. Overhead will turn to Galatians chapter 5, and then to Mark chapter 4 after that. I got to go to Mark chapter 4. So the overhead is going. No, I'm just kidding. Mark chapter 4. Now you're there in Mark chapter 4. Let's look up at the screen real quick. This is what Galatians 5:25 says in the message. It says, since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. Isn't that good? I got to read that again. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, do you want to be strong and courageous? The life of the Spirit, that's where strength and courage come from. Let us make sure that we do not hold it as an idea in our heads. Oh man, that was cool. That was a cool message. That was a cool verse. It's a cool chapter I read. I don't remember what I read, but it's cool. That we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, a sentimental thing, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. We're grabbing hold of it with all of our heart and with all of our life. You're there in Mark chapter 4. Let's look at verse 16. And this is what the Bible says about those people who, oh man, that was a cool verse. I'm not saying that you're fake or you're illegitimate, but watch what the Bible says about people who treat the word of God like that. It says, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Man, that was tight. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Immediately they stumble. You don't have to turn there. I have this one up on the overhead too. Luke chapter 8, verse 13 in the TEV. It says, the seeds that fell on rocky ground are the people who gladly hear the message and accept it, but they do not have deep roots, and they believe only for a little while. As soon as life gets hard, they give up. As soon as life gets hard, they give up. And if God's word to you is, oh man, that was cool. That was a tight message, yo. I read some verses the other day and they were cool. But you haven't really grabbed it with your heart. You haven't made it everything in your life. Then check it out, guys. When tribulation arises, when persecution arises, the word of God isn't going to be so cool to you. And you're going to stumble. You're going to fall away. And you're going to... That's what the Bible says. So tonight, if we're going to be strong and courageous, we're not. You and I cannot hold God's word as a sentimental thing. As just, oh man, that's cool. We're going to have to grab hold of it with all of our hearts. And then tonight... So number one, we're going to have to know God's will. Number two, got to grab hold of God's word with everything we are. And number three tonight, God gives to those who ask every time. If you and I are going to be strong and courageous, we're going to have to know God gives to those who ask. And he gives every time. Every time. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, it says, ask and receive. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. And just in case you didn't quite get it, Bible comes along and says, and continues, for everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. Oh, you have that up there? How'd you get that? Anyways, I didn't know they had that. So God gives to those who ask every time. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. Remember, we're talking about being strong and courageous. Man, God, I found out your will. I grabbed hold of it with my heart. And God, you give it to me when I ask. You give to me when I ask every time. First Kings 8:56. First Kings 8:56. The Bible says, blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he has promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise which he promised through his servant Moses. There has not failed one word of all of God's good promise. Not one time where the children of Israel in this particular place did they ever go through life and man, God lied. He didn't do what he said. He didn't do what he said. Not one time were they out going about life and, man, God didn't show up. It didn't happen. It happened. God promised a week ago and it happened and 2 weeks ago and it happened, but this week it didn't happen. So maybe next week, maybe next month. The Bible says not one word of all of God's good promise failed. God gives to those who ask and he gives every time. Look at your neighbor and say, God gives to those who ask. Semicolon. Every time. look at your other neighbor and say, every time. Every time. If we're going to be strong and courageous, we're going to have to know that God gives to those who ask every time. And the last verse for tonight, if you'll turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. What is it that God has promised you tonight? 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. I got to read that again. Now this is the confidence. This is the strength. This is the courage. This is the certainty. This is the steadfastness. This is the faithfulness that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we asked of him. The Bible didn't say God gives to some sometimes. God gives the most. Bible says if we ask according to his will, we know that he hears us, and we know that if he hears us, we have the petitions that we've asked of him. Every time, God gives to those who ask. Every time. Listen, you've never prayed a prayer where God didn't start working on your behalf the moment that you prayed. Whether you and I stayed in faith long enough to receive the final manifestation, the final answer, was up to us. But the moment you guys prayed, anything that you have ever prayed according to God's will, was the moment he started working on your behalf. You remember that scripture went to in James, God liberally gives and without reproach. So tonight, if we're going to be strong and courageous, number one, we're going to have to know God's will. Number two, we can't hold God's word, the things of God, with just sentimental value. We're going to have to grab hold of it with all of our heart. And finally, number three, God gives to those who ask every time. If you got something out of the word of God tonight, go ahead and give him a great big praise.